Hi, all. These are generally conversations between adults after the children have left the table. The language can be spicy, and the subjects can get saucy. So if you're ready, this is the Southern Fork. Unscripted kitchen chats, and also studio chats, with some of the most interesting voices in the culinary South. I'm Stephanie Burt, a food and beverage writer based in Charleston, South Carolina, who travels with her fork to write for a variety of publications, from magazines you might have on your coffee table to the website you love to visit for your favorite recipes. And I'm inviting you to come behind the scenes with me to get to know the people who make this Southern culinary landscape so special. I'm always hungry for the next bite, thirsty for that next sip, and ready for the next conversation. Let's dig in. The Southern Fork is honored to be presented again this year by Townsend Automotive in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. For more than 48 years, the Townsend family of dealerships has been a locally owned company built on service and connection with its customers. And their experienced team can walk you through the car buying process side by side from test drive to service oil changes and beyond. Townsend goes through a rigorous vetting process to make sure that every pre-owned vehicle adheres to quality standards. And right now, there's plenty on the lot to choose from in various makes and models. Visit TownsendHonda.com for current inventory, or if you're in West Alabama, stop in. Townsend Automotive salutes local entrepreneurs, from restaurateurs to podcasters, and they welcome you to be part of a community that does the same. A California girl now living in New Orleans, Joy Wilson, known more on the internet as Joy the Baker, never tires of the alchemy of baking at home. In 2008, Joy started a blog to share her indulgent, comforting, yet approachable recipes in her little corner of the internet, and the path since has been super sweet. She's a baking instructor, a three-time cookbook author, editor-in-chief of the Joy the Baker magazine, and she's been featured in numerous publications, including Food 52, New York Mag, The Kitchen, Better Homes and Gardens, and Country Living. Through it all, Joy proves baking is not about all the latest gadgets and high-tech gizmos, but about stepping into the kitchen with a monster sweet tooth, a curious attitude, and a willingness to practice coaxing something beautiful out of the oven. Welcome to the Southern Fork, Joy.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. I wanted more than anything to use you as an excuse to go down to New Orleans and spend time sitting across from you, hopefully with something sugary in between us. I just wasn't able to make it work. So I appreciate you making this mobile chat with me today work.
Oh, I'm so happy to do it. And the beignets will always be here. So we'll do that another time for sure.
I think when it comes to baked goods, like anything with powdered sugar just has my number. I guess I really would like to start with the idea of New Orleans. I mean, you're transplanted from California, and I wanted to know what really attracted you to the city.
Gosh, I moved to New Orleans in early 2014, so it's been a good amount of years now. And I don't know, whenever anyone asks why I moved to New Orleans, I ask them if they've ever been to New Orleans. And it sounds like you have. It's just such a special place, such a unique American city. And I feel like there aren't a lot of American cities that have such a big personality that like take up so much space in your life New Orleans is one of those places. New York is one of those places where the city itself sort of becomes a character in your life. And I would visit New Orleans a couple times a year for a few years before I decided to move here. And every time I would visit, I would just notice that the city was just like taking up space in my heart.
Yeah.
It's the kind of place that calls you if you belong here. And
yes,
it called me. And I remember walking down Royal Street on my last visit. Royal Street is a famous street in the French Quarter of New Orleans. It's one of the, it's the street that it doesn't have a ton of bars on it. It's pretty residential. It has some beautiful art galleries. I was walking down Royal Street and I looked up at a balcony that had a for rent sign in it. And it's like so cliche and a tale as old as time. But I was like, I'm going to live there. And I took a picture of the sign, flew home to Los Angeles the next day, called the number on the sign, and moved 3 months later into that very apartment.
That's an awesome story. And on such a beautiful street, what a great place to begin your New Orleans adventure. Yeah, Royal Street.
It's wild. It's wild.
How has your baking changed since you've moved to the city?
Well, I've never really been afraid of butter and sugar, but New Orleans has helped me really, really dive into all that is like decadent and luxurious and like even like slow to make, slow to rise. It, you know, New Orleans is that kind of slow and decadent and celebratory place that it's, that's been infused in my baking even more.
That's, and you know, with the king cakes, you know, I think about that celebratory way. And I think about the pralines, you know, which is basically just cooking sugar until it caramelizes. And, you know, it was such a sugar port, still is, you know, such a big in the country for sugar. Before we get into specifics of what you like to bake and cook, I just got to be real with you. I mean, like, you're the queen of the bloggers. And because I remember I wasn't a food, well, I wasn't a full-time food writer when you started your blog in 2008. I know a lot of people that are that listen to the Southern Fork do food blogs and they run accounts, you know, on Instagram. And there is this sense today that, you know, we have to go faster and hustle and push all the time. You know, you and I have to figure out how to do TikTok now, and then we have to do all this other stuff, and it never ends. It's this churn. But one thing I've always found so refreshing about your work is that it's actual work, and it's filled with usable content. When you started this out, did you have any idea, Joy, that you would have a staff?
Oh my God, I had no idea. Are you kidding me? I was staff when I started. That's where we all start. No, I mean, I started this in 2008 and there was no way. There was no way that this was a career. And I was working at a restaurant and a bakery at the time. I had two jobs and I was like, let me just put all my recipes in this one place. And I had a different trajectory for my work life. I thought that I was going to be a wholesale baker and sell baked goods to different coffee shops across the city in Los Angeles where I was living.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to make that work, but I'll tell you, the margins were real tight and I couldn't scale it enough to make it work for me financially. The entire time I was creating recipes mostly for myself because I was also like teaching myself how to bake as I started blogging.
No biggie.
But the spirit was always like, here's what I tried. What have you tried? Like, let's kind of learn together. I never felt like much of an authority in those early days. It was much more of an exploration and just like a place to share recipes. And so, no, I had no idea that it would have the opportunity to grow so much.
Well, and I mean, you know, back then we were just thrilled when we got an ad. You know, like somebody wanted to advertise on our, what? This is so great. With the staff, and then, I mean, your business is Joy the Baker, and you're moving into a space that is now collaborative. How did that, especially with the magazine and that whole iteration, how is that working as a solo baker and then now working with some other folks that have their own ideas and are bakers and creatives in their own right?
Gosh, I welcome it so much. I miss my days of working in a kitchen as crowded and hot and loud as it is to work in a restaurant kitchen. I miss them so much because I miss the collaboration of a kitchen.
Yeah.
And working by myself. And so I feed off of creative collaboration, and it's been such a blessing to have that come through in different ways. And I don't necessarily get the collaboration in the kitchen that I used to get at restaurants, but collaboration in like putting together a magazine and the design in the flow, that has been really exciting to me because it also gives me an opportunity to learn a different medium. You know, in a small way. I'm not a magazine designer now, but when working so closely with one, you know, I can see someone else's creative process, and that's really exciting to me.
It is exciting. And I mean, as a food writer first and a podcaster second, I miss that collaboration too.
Yeah.
I'm actually at the point now where I get to collaborate with the editors that I work with and really develop content, you know, and project manage. But that didn't happen for a long time. And it was a lonely place, you know, because I was used to that collaboration. Also, production baker before this. Mm. Although I made biscuits. Lots and lots and lots of biscuits.
Oh my God.
So just the same thing over and over again, not like different stuff. But, you know, when you're talking about switching from, well, I'm asking you because it's been such a long career, but switching from different mediums and working with different people, I mean, do you think about it before you do these leaps of adding people to a staff or coming up with new ideas? Do people approach you for things like delicacies, the jewelry line that you have? Or do you imagine a manifest with a vision board? I think everybody is fascinated with like how the hell did you do this, Joy?
gosh, there's no vision board. Maybe that would give me a little bit more structure. Maybe I do need a vision board. No, I feel honestly there might be a vision board. I think my whole house is the vision board.
Yes,
so I think I just surround myself with the vision board, and I do. I think very much about it before I take leaps in terms of growing my team, because Joy the Baker started as just me, and now we have a small team of four or five people. Maybe perhaps it's a little bit of the control. I won't say freak, but that's a weird word. But I just want to have my hands on every part of my business because that's how I started this business. And I never want to feel like I know how to do every part of my business, because as people come and go, as they do, I need to be able to take up that slack, to fill in that creative space, and to really maintain what the brand has become. So I never let it get too far away from me. And in terms of creative collaborations, I do get approached like delicacies. I was wearing their necklaces and I love their jewelry. And they approached me to do a jewelry line with them, which is so exciting. I love their product and I love their mission to like feed people by selling jewelry. Mm-hmm. And so that felt like a fun, tangential collaboration, whereas like the magazine collaboration is much more close to the cookbook work and the food writing that I do. So that felt
like a
big step, but a step that's like in line with Joy the Baker.
Yeah, that's in your comfort zone. A sterling silver charm might not be. So all of this is so fun. So you think about you being the center of this and then being able to work with people. Was there ever a time when you failed at a recipe so badly? And I want to know what it was that you were like, oh God, I'm just going to have to quit this thing.
No.
Good.
No. I mean, there were some early days of baking where, you know, this is before Joy the Baker, when I didn't know, when I was just trying to figure out where I was going. I remember mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be a cake decorator, like a wedding cake decorator. And mm-hmm. I made two wedding cakes. I've made two wedding cakes in my career. And I will never make a wedding cake again because I am not a wedding cake decorator. Not a completely different lane. You have to be a perfectionist to be a wedding cake decorator. And I am a strong, good enoughist. So I've ruined two people's wedding cakes. And I said, that's it. That's it for me. So I don't do that. I don't do that. I stay out of that lane. But I have a commitment to being very curious, and mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to fail, but I also don't want to fail so much that I will like ruin somebody else's time.
Right.
So that's why I'm not a cake decorator.
Yeah. So I have to talk out of school for a minute about myself. I did a partnership maybe last year or 2 years ago with Wilton.
Okay.
Which is a wonderful cake decorating company, mm-hmm. you know, for like you can buy it at Michael's or whatever. And they sent me some stuff and here, we want you to try this stuff and just see what you think and, you know, work with it and let it, you know, post something or talk about it. And I got really excited and decided that I wanted to make that succulent cake. Remember, everybody was doing those sheet cakes that look like succulents. Sure. And they actually sent me an email and said, we're going to try to talk you out of that because that's like high level. So they sent me the original thing and I decided to make my family's Christmas red velvet cake and I was going to decorate it with these different tips and colors. It was a disaster. And I remember, basically almost stained my mom's countertops with the gel color. I was getting extremely agitated and it looked so horrible. And I remember my dad said, just hold it way back and I'll take a picture of it. Like, it looks good. Yeah, he was like, it looks okay from here.
No. So
I understand that feeling of no, I'm not ruining anything else like that. But you have favorite ingredients, and baking is very precise, but it never feels precise when you write, Joy. It feels very not collaborative, but convivial. Like you're there with us going, you can do it.
Yeah.
This is how I did it. You know, like if you flip this out and it doesn't quite stick, you can just, you know, patch it and it's okay. Do you have any ingredients? And I know we'll talk about cherries, but any ingredients that are just your favorite that you wait for, either a seasonal fruit or something that, you know, is just your jam. Like I love almond flavoring and I know it's a very divisive flavor. Yeah.
First of all, thank you. That it's such a compliment to me that you read my recipes in that way, because I always say in my hope for the last 14 years of my work is that my recipes feel like a pep talk for people in the kitchen.
That's so, right.
That feels that feels wonderful to me. And in terms of ingredients, I love almond extract too. And I don't know, maybe it's like a Southern thing. It's also an Italian thing. I don't know where it originates, but I know that like the wedding cake flavor down here has almond extract in it. And that's what I want. That's what I want.
And you got those New Orleans snow cones. They're the wedding cake flavor too.
I love it. What ingredients do I wait for and do I love? There are the elusive ingredients like sour cherries that mm-hmm. and Concord grapes that are so hard to get down here. but I like yearn for them, but it's hard to get. I love okra living down here now, and blackberries and blueberries are so fun to go out and pick in the summertime and bake with. I went blueberry picking in Mississippi a couple weeks ago and then made blueberry muffins, and I was like, this is so charming.
Also, you lost 4 pounds of water weight in the hour it took, right? If you're picking a few weeks ago,
just
right?
We knew to go at the crack of dawn. Pretty smart. And we missed the rain showers, too.
Now, why do you love cherries as a symbol for Joy the Baker? Because that is one of your, that is your delicacy's charm.
Yeah, cherries is a symbol of Joy the Baker, and so are strawberries. I just think they're the most sweet and tender berries that make some of the most delicious baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's as simple as that.
No, that's pretty simple. What are some of your favorite cherry recipes, like, that people could look up on the blog if they were inspired after this?
My favorite cherry recipe is a cherry lemon icebox cake. That's, you know, it's no bake. It's made with graham crackers and lemon curd and frozen cherries. And the way that graham crackers can turn into basically cake layers when combined with heavy cream and sweetened condensed milk is a true gift. Love the play of sweet lemon curd and tart cherries. It just is like so refreshing. It's one of my favorite recipes on the site.
It sounds so good. And I was the child who really wanted to drink the sweetened condensed milk out of the can.
Yeah. It's such a treat.
I found out that Tres Leches was basically, you know, had a whole can. I was like, we need to have this cake, you know. The history of that cake being from the condensed milk can, you know, is very fascinating. But yeah, graham crackers do a lot of fun things. And there's a lot of, not tricks, but I guess they would be considered tricks in baking, that once you know that it works here, you can translate it over to another preparation, right? You don't have to start. And I bet that's where your creativity comes in, when you go, oh, I can switch out this flavor for that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, I'm rarely reinventing the wheel when I approach recipe development or, you know, exploring new flavors in the kitchen. I'm always working from base recipes or base techniques that I know work, and then adding seasonal or, you know, just like exciting ingredients to change it up.
You've just come out with this beautiful magazine, and it's very usable. I'm still the old-fashioned girl that doesn't want to bring an iPad into the kitchen because I'm messy.
Yeah.
I really like a cookbook, and I like cooking to unplug. I put on music or a podcast, not my own, because I'm not that creepy. although I listen to them to make sure, you know, like, what's going on.
Yeah.
But I don't cook to them. And those recipes are ones that you can rip out in the old-fashioned way, you know, where, like, you had a notebook of recipes that you wanted to play and try. So you've really, really done all of so much with this little blog that you started. It's not little by any stretch of the imagination now. So what's making you hungry? What's next for you, percolating in your vision board of a house?
Yeah. You know what's making me hungry now is possibly a move to Texas.
That's what's making me
hungry now. And I can't leave New Orleans completely, so I think I'm always going to have a place here in New Orleans. But
so Texas is a huge country, basically. It's a country of its own. So what part of Texas is calling to you? Since New Orleans called to you, what part of Texas is calling to you?
Texas is a huge country, and I think that they would really appreciate that you recognize them as that.
Thank you.
I'm going to be spending a lot more time in Houston, Texas, which is a big old city, but I'm excited. I'm excited to explore all of the food and pastries and bakeries in Houston.
Well, I have some really great friends in Houston. Rebecca Mason, Fluff Bake Bar, and Chris Shepherd of Underbelly and that whole restaurant group, and Alba Huerta of Julep. So those are some great places to start. And Houston has such wonderful international flavors. Yeah. It's one of the biggest diverse cities in the U.S. So you're gonna
excited to explore, and I'm friends with all your friends.
Well, we're gonna be friends now. I'm forcing it. You're going to be like, oh, God, not her again. Calling? Weird. So what's one aspect of your job that really meshes like a puzzle piece with an aspect of your personality?
I'm a Gemini. I do have to admit to being a Gemini monster. And the thing about Geminis is people call us the twins, like we have two different personalities. And I wouldn't say that I have two different personalities, because that would be odd and a little alarming. But I do have Joy Wilson, and then I have Joy the Baker. And they both love to cook. They both love to bake. They're both very into food. But I think what works for my business and having me be my business is that I get to separate the two. I get to like be Joy Wilson and like go off on a motorcycle with my boyfriend. And then I get to be Joy the Baker, who's like fully invested in your baking journey and like doing that with you. And I think that that helps me balance my work and my business and my personal life is like being a trash ass Gemini and being two people.
When you're Joy Wilson, you can get inspiration that you can take back to Joy the Baker.
Absolutely.
And you need both of those. You definitely need both of those. You don't want to mine your personal life for your professional one all the time. No, just sometimes. But people can tell if you're authentic. And what is one thing, and this is a quick fire question, keeping you up at night?
Coffee, the thought of coffee the next morning. The thought of coffee, and I'm like, ooh, I can't wait. Can we do it now?
Okay, so what's the coffee ritual? Do you do a pour over? Are you a French press person? Do you have a drip? What?
Oh my gosh, I just have a cheap drip coffee machine, and I don't care what kind of coffee goes in it. I just love it. But I did used to be more of a coffee snob. I used to be a barista in a past life being like 2 decades ago. And I had a whole pour over coffee phase. I was a coffee snob for a few years, but I got over that. And now I appreciate the fancy pour over coffee for sure, but I don't need it in my everyday. I just love some drip coffee from my little percolator machine with a little bit of almond milk in it. Like five times over.
Well, I mean, it's all about the hot liquid caffeine, you know, and that smell. Yeah. I think just the scent of coffee alone is enough to kind of start my day on the right foot.
I agree.
Okay, so this is something that I reserve just for Southern Fort guests, and I will not be baking anything for you for this today. I'm so sorry. Because I'm just too intimidated, but, I have a magic picnic basket, and in this picnic basket, instead of a death row meal, I want to bring you some things that bring you life. So I can time travel. I can go back and conscript anybody to make just one more bite of something you'd really like to have again. I can source for you those Concord grapes and tart cherries. I gotcha. And I can cook a little bit, maybe some fried okra, although I'm pretty sure you get some delicious stuff down there. But I would love to bring you some of your favorite things. So what can I pack your basket with?
Oh my gosh, what's in my basket? This basket would probably make me cry. So in my basket would be a slice, like a big hunk of my Aunt Dee Dee's 7-Up pound cake. It would be a little burnt around the edges. She always burned her cakes a little bit because she was blind, was in like she could not see. But she still baked, and she was in was an incredible baker, and she taught me a lot about baking. But sometimes, most of the time, her cakes were burnt around the edges, and we all just learned to love that. So, mm-hmm. the big edge of Aunt Dee Dee's 7-Up pound cake sheet cake. And then a hamburger from my grandmother. She used to make hamburgers every Friday night. So one of those would be fantastic. As well as, you know, this is like going off the rails and coming up to recent day, but the best barbecue I've ever had in Texas was at Bodacious Barbecue in Longview, Texas. And I took pictures of my plate, and I think about it more than I care to admit.
I go back. You visit the pictures on your phone a little bit.
I go back and look at that picture on my phone more than is normal. And so if some of that barbecue could get in that basket too, that would be fantastic.
I can definitely do that. I can put you a nice, beautiful cup of coffee, maybe even the pour over kind. But is there any other beverage that you would like besides coffee?
Well, like a bottle of whiskey and a cup of black coffee would be perfect.
Then you could even mix them if you needed to.
For an emergency. I will say, in my emergency kit, you know, we have like hurricane kits. When I came from Los Angeles, I had an earthquake kit. I do have a small bottle of Maker's Mark in there because, you just never
know. Yeah. You know, I do know. I live in a hurricane area.
I need this.
Yeah, we used to say, you got to clean out the liquor cabinet. It might spoil if the power goes out. So if people want to learn more about Joy the Baker, I mean, you should already know about Joy the Baker, but you can go to thesouthernfork.com. I'm going to have links there, as well as images, so you can see the face behind the voice. If you like what you hear, this is a really just straight up fun job. I love having conversations with some of the Culinary South's best and brightest, and I always, always learn something. And today, it was about graham crackers, heavy cream, and sweetened condensed milk. And Joy, I'm going for that. It's going to be my new thing. In fact, it could be my morning cereal. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Oh, it was so wonderful. And we'll have to meet up either in New Orleans or Houston. We have a time.
Awesome. We'll have a time. And until then, I will be baking and inspired by your work. Congratulations on all your success.
Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Hello and welcome to Talking with My Mouthful. As you know, baking is really one of my passions, and it's a passion in my personal kitchen, but it's especially a passion in my writing. I've written a lot about baking in the past and written for baking publications, written about grain, but I especially love writing the baker profile. And this summer, I profiled Heather Hutton, who is the pastry chef at Edmund's Oast in Charleston, South Carolina. And she is really a phenomenal restaurant baker. I loved some of the things that she really had to say about never becoming a master of pastry and always learning in the kitchen. And so if you want a little more additional inspiration before you get into the kitchen, as soon as it cools off below 90 degrees, and you can turn on that oven without sweating yourself out of house and home. I wrote about that for Resi, and so you can go to the show notes for this on Joy's dedicated episode page. I'm going to have a link there to the article about Heather Hutton as well, so we can just kind of have a baking party on that page. It was published on the Resi Charleston blog, and it was part of a larger coverage of women in food that Resi had a focus on earlier this summer, and I was thrilled to be able to contribute to that. So make sure and click on Joy's dedicated episode page to find this article, and you'll find that dedicated episode page, of course, on the homepage of thesouthernfork.com. Thank you so much for listening. And if you bake something from Joy the Baker's blog after listening to this show, will you tag us? Please tag Joy the Baker and me. I would love to see what comes out of your kitchen from this episode. Happy baking, and I will be right here next week.
You've been listening to The Southern Fork. I can't wait to bring you more culinary conversations, but in the meantime, I have one question. Are you gonna eat all that?